Hello, hello, and welcome to Tell Me Why You're Special. This is not a highlight reel podcast. This is the re arena where creators, writers, founders, and the barely holding it together but still showing up humans get a chance at the mic. You get to pitch whatever it is that we need to know that you're doing, whether it's a book, a podcast, a product, or tell us why you should have one. We're talking about how your mess turned into your message and how you kept moving forward while getting your ass kicked, and what it actually looks like to build something meaningful when you don't have it figured out just yet. Okay. So if you are in the arena, bruised, bold, still standing, this is your room. I want to welcome today in the hot seat, Charisma Veer, today in the hot seat of Tell Me Why You're Special. Hi, Charisma. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hi, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
So, let's get into your elevator pitch. Why don't you take us there? Who is Charisma? What do you do? How do you help people?
Okay, well, I've had my own history of trauma and addiction and adversity, and I have had an indomitable spirit that has always sought to become a better person and wholer and weller, and my journey has taken me di many different places, and it's I think from the time I was really young, I actually always had a fair amount of insight and empathy for to towards other people, but particularly the last 10 years, I've learned new levels of things that I quite enjoy being able to help other people. My passion is helping people create a kinder, softer, more attuned relationship to themselves, which comes completely out of my own need to have done that myself.
What was the catalyst? You said 10 years ago this started for you. So what was the turning point 10 years ago?
In 2018, I basically had a complete nervous breakdown, and I was actually I had been like 2016. I was thriving, and that lasted. And I was really not aware that I was getting sicker, and the trauma was coming back. And I was like, top of my game with my coaching. I was eating super well. I'd lost 80 pounds. I was like, able to run for an hour at a time and working out every day, and just thought that I had finally arrived, that I had just overcome my past, and this was truly my time to thrive. And what I discovered was that that wasn't the case, and everything fell apart, and I pretty much lost everything except for the roof over my head, and including relapsing, and was it really in a bad place. But like, what it taught me was that I really needed to do things differently, and that building my self-worth and my enjoyment for life and stuff like that based on the things that I was doing was not the wisest choice, and so it sort of helped me come to terms with building a new sense of self-worth that is just based on me being a human being without the doing, and then also helped me really look at a whole new concept of what wholeness means, which wasn't about fixing or getting rid of things about myself. It was actually about learning how to be in relationship with the light, the dark, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. Like that, trying to get rid of parts of myself and judging parts of myself and being uncomfortable with parts of myself was actually creating an internal kind of chaos. And that real harmony, which, I associate with the word inner peace, came from actually, radical acceptance and embodying and embracing and learning how to treat all those parts with unconditional love.
What is the problem that you help people solve that they've been stuck in longer than they admit? Like, how do you actually help people move? What's
Well, I sort of help people mostly create changes in their lives, but the foundational piece of that is basically creating a stronger relationship with yourself. And I find that what makes me special is that our society, by and large, doesn't, there are way more people now supporting this view, but for most of us, we've grown up in a society that, prioritizing the relationship with yourself was not on the radar. And words like selfishness and self-centered and all those kinds of things were bandied about. So And then whether it was the freedom, the luxury, or permission to actually prioritize the relationship that we have with ourselves, that I run across like people, just everybody, that hasn't had this opportunity to like really work on the relationship with themselves, you know? And yet we are who we spend the most amount of time with. And what I discovered through actually finally prioritizing that relationship with myself and developing an attuned, compassionate relationship with myself is that it incredibly increased my quality of life. It increased my quality of connections of other people, you know? And it's like, I actually really do love myself now, and I enjoy spending time with myself. And my life doesn't have to be perfect for me to actually be, pretty content.
That's kind of the part that everyone misses, I think. There's two parts I want to speak to on what you're talking about. Number one, you're talking about how it was kind of taboo for people to help themselves. And I kind of have seen the different side of that. I've seen where people just avoid it on purpose. People don't want to face it. People don't want to face whatever it is they're running from. So then they become the kind of person that like kills themselves for everybody else, right? Mom does everything. But she's not really doing it for herself. She's doing it so she's gonna have to face herself. So I see a lot of avoidance in that. I love that you have seen where, people are actually coming out because they know it's safe, right? Or permission or whatever that may be. And the second part, I just lost my train of thought actually, that I wanted to
Yeah.
speak to. But yeah, I see a different perspective on that. And I love that. I love that you're helping people bring out that work. It's, I mean, facing
You're true.
yourself.
Like so many of our mothers, right? In particular, it's like it's true. They showed us that way to be in the world of like sacrificing self for everybody else, not putting yourself first. And as much as we were supposed to be sort of grateful for that, I don't think it actually did us the most amount of favors, because you have to, I'm doing workshops with these women who are new in recovery and have young children, and it's such a pleasure for me to be teaching them like how to put themselves first, which is it's really taboo, right? Because like if you're a young mom, you're supposed to your kid must come. But I really believe deep down in my heart that when we can care for ourselves, we set an example, right? And then we actually have so much more to give, you know? There's a level of patience, there's a level of compassion, there's a level of unconditional love that we can then actually genuinely offer from the abundance that we have, rather than constantly being in a depleted state that comes off, in our actions and certainly energetically.
I mean, I think all of our relationships are a reflection of the relationship we have with ourselves. So if you have these people that keep going through these toxic relationships and they're not getting along with anybody, my thing is like, look in the mirror. It usually starts with you and how you're treating yourself. And I love that you're helping people prioritize themselves. It is going to benefit your health, your well-being, your life experience. We came here for the human experience. And if you can't love yourself, you really genuinely can't accept love or love other people for who they truly are. And so I think that's a beautiful thing that you've woken up to. When you think about the future that you're building, what's the thing that keeps you up out of night, up at night, not out of fear, but because you know you're responsible for stewarding it. Like you know that's your calling and you're being pulled that direction.
I think for me, when I had a lot of like, it was a little bit different growing up. I tended to prioritize treating people nice, and I ran into some excessive bullying at school, violent bullying, and all kinds of, and I felt so alone in the world. I thought like, why doesn't anybody know right now that we should be treating each other with love, and not judging each other, and it was a very lonely place to be most of my life. But with the help of some others, I opened my eyes, and I had started to, as I got older and my world got bigger, realize that there are many, many, many other people out there in the world like me that want to see, this kindness and this compassion and this healing within grow. And there's so many wonderful conversations being happened, like by Tara Brach and Brené Brown and Kristen Neff and Gabor Maté and Bessel van der Kolk and so many more, So I think what really motivates me is that I sort of feel like those people saved my life, by being willing to look at things differently and actually like acknowledge the real pain and the reasons why I struggled with the things I did, the reason why I felt that the way, the reason why I had a history with addiction, and their willingness to step out there and have these different kinds of conversations, it really, really inspired me, and so to me, it's just like it's just this honor that I've done enough healing that I get to step out and be a part of those conversations too, because I think that we're growing like, a garden of health within the world, not to be too corny, but there's so much darkness and disease and other things kind of going on, but it isn't the entire world, and we can create these mental and emotional green spaces, right? That include room for the darkness.
What do you think people get wrong about the healing journey? Because it's not linear, and especially if you are, actively battling addiction, that doesn't go away overnight, and life doesn't like conform. It's the world wasn't like, oh, Charisma, you're gonna stop drugs, so we're gonna stop giving you all the things that are gonna pressure you, to do the things. So what do you think people misunderstand about that part of the journey?
Well, I feel lucky for one thing. I adapted harm reduction as a lifestyle when I was younger because I had a lot of self-sabotaging kind of behaviors, right? But and I was in a program that treated addiction like a disease, and it was very black and white kind of thinking, I now sort of more of a holistic wellness and looking at the actual causes, and I'm really fond of Gabor's work in that, like certainly for me. And everybody I've ever met that used any kind of getting away from ourselves, whether it's just like a suppression, whether it's a focusing on the other people, whether it's shopping too much, gambling, or any of the different kinds of substances we can turn to, it's been my experience that there is a struggle inside, a level of discomfort with what is on the inside. That we will kind of do almost anything to get away from it. And it really isn't, it's not a weakness, it's not a failure, certainly not a moral thing. We are coping, and we are coping to the best of our ability. So for me, healing has been about learning new ways to cope, meeting myself with compassion for the decisions that I did make, understanding that. My capacity and depending what's going on in my life is going to bring up different levels of needing to cope, but really building up my toolbox so I have other things to choose from, like it used to be I had to numb out with substances, and now if things are so overwhelming, I can put a pillow over my head and curl up with my teddy bear, or I can binge watch some television, right? Or lately I've been going through some health scares. I'm like sugar crisp. So my coping strategies, like they've changed, and they're from like a harm reduction perspective, I've brought on more and more coping strategies that actually work in my benefit instead of working against me. But I think all of us that struggle to like actually cope in these healthy ways, there's something going on inside that is difficult to be with. And difficult might be, an understatement for some of us with trauma histories, right?
What has been the biggest challenge for you in the last 10 years? Something that you met along the way that just kind of brought you to your knees and you're like, nope, I'm quitting. This isn't for me. Have you had those kind of moments on your journey of not just helping yourself, but helping other people too?
Yeah, well, the breakdown was that was that for me. Like I felt so betrayed because I'd been in therapy for, a couple of decades. I thought I had really faced all my demons. I really thought that it was finally my time to get to enjoy life, And when the floor fell out from underneath me and I lost all my friends and I lost my ability to I stepped out of the coaching voluntarily because I had started smoking cigarettes, and you can't be a life coach if you're smoking cigarettes. Integrity comes first for me, so I just thought I noticed, you're no longer in a place to help other people, and like everything fell apart, and I felt really betrayed, and I had a counselor at the time who had never warned me that that was even possible, and I had been dissociative most of my life, and I had gone looking, I think of it, I had this force field around the inner material, and I had gone looking, and I thought that I had actually faced it all, but I had just touched the surface, and turned out it was Pandora's box, and all of that stuff came flooding out and brought me to my knees. And for quite a while there, a couple of years anyway, I felt I was at the end of, I just couldn't do it anymore. And honestly, I'm still single because I'm not ready to be in another relationship, because it was kind of, I ended up with a narcissist right before I ended up in the hospital. And it was just, I'd had relationships that didn't work out, but I never, not since I was a child, did I have them that could do that much harm. And so I just, but that, like that's the blessing of that was like, hey, it made me stop, prioritizing being in a relationship and prioritize the relationship with myself, which was a blessing. And it created all kinds of changes in me that I'm actually super grateful for now. But I do sometimes sort of like, raise my eyebrows at the universe and go, did you really have to knock me down that far? And maybe I can realize there was my own stubbornness to continue doing things the way, I wasn't acknowledging my I wasn't acknowledging the things that I needed to about my mental health and other things. So, but it was that was sort of the end for me, because I thought, I've spent my whole life working on healing. I actually thought I finally was going to get to enjoy life, and then everything just blew up, and I was so unwell, and it just seemed so unfair, But it took years to start to see the gifts in that falling apart.
I love that because I can relate so much to that with, thinking that I should have been healed. And if you guys, listening to this, I think this is very important because I believe everyone comes to this part of their journey where they do think they're healed and they're finally like on the downhill process. And that's just like the undoing right there. That is the great undoing. And you're going to see all the ways that you need to be broken. And I mean, my greatest fall came after my biggest dream came true. I published my first book. I'd wanted to do that for a million years. And everything fell apart, and I was at my lowest point in my entire life, and I've been through some shit. So, yeah, I love that because it's so relatable. And that's what I want people to see that makes us special. It's the fact that we're not any different than anyone else. We are in the arena, and there are moments where we're broken. But what really makes you special, Charisma, is that you got up and you kept going. You see the lesson and the blessing. You see the gift, and you learn and you grow, and you're stronger for it today.
Yeah, I have people that I run across them, and they're like, oh yeah, no, I've left all that in the past. I don't need to look at that, and I don't push, because I respect people,
Course.
right? And everybody has to come to things in their own time. But I always have this little bit of a caution that, it's just a matter of time. And I think many of us face this as we get a little bit older. And but then the true beauty that I have a fantastic counselor, and one of the things she helped me to really come to understand, because I was angry, like, I'm 55. Why couldn't I have figured out some of this? Like, so much of my life is it, and it's because, you know what? I finally have the resources and the safety to be able to face this. And it's not a failure that I hadn't been able to before. I was busy putting a roof over my head, and I was busy coping, and I didn't have the right kind of help or the safe spaces, not externally and not within myself. So it's like, okay, well, yes, I kind of wish I'd known some of this a lot earlier in life, but this is where we're at. And all this stuff that is coming up that I'm working through, it is really a gift, because it just is, because, like, I'm finally ready to, and to be able to accept that without the judgment that I hadn't been before is actually kind of cool.
I think a lot of people don't understand that self-forgiveness is one of the greatest gifts you can experience in this lifetime. The forgiveness for everything, right? Like forgiveness for even being with a narcissist. I think the biggest part of healing is to forgive yourself because you take that on. And you're like, what did I do to bring this to me, right? When we try to take on other people's baggage, but through all of that, and even just taking massive responsibility. I think that's the stuff that makes us special. Massive responsibility. I not once have I heard you blame anybody else. You've not blamed your circumstance, and you're still doing that, and you're moving in your potential, and you're helping people. And that to me should be celebrated.
Yeah, the only person I ever used to blame was me, but one of the things I like to share with clients, and it's in the book and stuff, is that so the critic I'm never going to make go away, because the critic has served me very, very well, right? It kept me safe, it kept me shooting for other things. It just did it in a way that it knew how, and I now know some better ways. But the way that I can tell whether or not the voice inside me is the critic or the compassion, and the big difference I see between them is the critic takes things out of context. It doesn't consider my energy, my capacity, what else is going on, anything. It just will make a judgment about and usually call a name kind of thing, right? And what I like about compassion's not a not accountable thing. Compassion just looks, takes a step back, looks at the bigger history. It considers the bigger picture. It considers my history, it
Oh my
considers
God.
my energy, my emotions, my environment, my struggle. It considers everything. So the beautiful part about that is that it doesn't let me off the hook. It allows me to make wiser decisions about what I'm gonna do about the struggle that I'm having, or what it is that I want or I'm trying to change. Because it's actually taking into consideration the big picture, the context of everything. And in that sense, it's kind of doing something for me that I didn't really get in the world for the most part, but it came from somebody else, again, my counselor, like really meeting me where I was at, not who I used to be, not who I want to be, but like who I actually am this moment. And from there is it's so neat, because the problem solving that you get to do is so much more effective.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Tell us where people can find you, how they can work with you, promote all the amazing things that you are offering in your journey towards your potential.
Okay, come visit me at towardswellness.ca. If you don't remember that, just Google Charisma Veer and you'll find me everywhere. But on towardswellness.ca, I call it my wellness hub. You can join the Facebook no sales, absolutely no sales support group. There's the Light Switch Myths, Contemporary Approaches to Creating Realistic Change that I'm so proud of and just won an award. And there's the companion journal, Ways I Showed Up for Myself, which is a super simple kind of way to start to rewire your brain towards that compassionate lens. And I actually just launched a course, From Pressure to Path. And I have a secret novella. It's a sapphic holiday novella that just sort of was a side project that exists out there. And yeah, and for your listeners, just so you know, I have an accessibility policy, because I've been challenged in resources my whole life. So if you cannot afford to buy the book, but you think the book would help, reach out to me and I will send you a free PDF copy. I do not want I love sales. I absolutely adore them, but if finances are the reason why you can't get the book, reach out and I'll send you a copy.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. Two-part question now before we sign off today. Our listeners, if they're just kind of stuck at that point, their breaking point of just like, I should have been past this by now. Or if they're at that moment, like you think about your lowest moment, what's the one thing that you wish you could have told yourself in that moment that you could tell them right now to help them? And then my next question is, what is the next scary thing that you're doing?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I kind of like to talk to people one on one when they're in that situation, because it's so unique to each person what's going to be. But I would probably say maybe the simplest thing that you could do is close your eyes, put your hand on your heart, and say, "Hey, I know you're trying. I know you're struggling. I'm here. I gotcha. I love you anyway." Just 2 seconds of unconditional love, the same kind of love you would offer all the other people in your life, just the and that 2 seconds can be so powerful. What's the next scariest thing that I am doing? Well, honestly, I'll just be very, very vulnerable here. My teeth got wrecked when I had my breakdown, so I really need to address it, but I'm
Yeah.
terrified.
No, that's
So
scary.
I'm looking at dentures, and so all the things I coach other people about is just like I'm taking tiny little steps. I'm supporting myself. I'm resourcing myself. I'm using radical acceptance and compassion, and I'm slowly working towards that. But
Yeah.
all the creative projects I have is just like the I've got a part two to the course already figured out. I don't think I need to write another book just yet, but I would like to put it in audiobook format. And actually, I had the brilliant idea today. I'm going to make a 2025 Integrity Award, and all the people that showed up in 2025 and showed integrity with me, I'm going to highlight in a I'm going to make a reel of all these different people that
Love
like
that.
were stellar in their field, right? So I just because I really believe in being the change you seek, you know? And those of us that are showing up with integrity deserve to be recognized, I
Yeah.
think, you know?
No, I very much agree. And there's not really a big market for pats on the back in this world. It's a dog-eat-dog world. So I'm always like, don't go for the accolades. Whatever you're doing, just know you're going to do it whether people are cheering or not. But Charisma, Vera, I think you're very special. I love the work that you're doing. I'll definitely be praying for your journey with your teeth because I know, like, I'm terrified of the dentist. So that is very relatable for me. I'd go 100 years without ever having to go if I could. So yeah. That's scary, scary stuff. But I think you're amazing. Thank you so much for coming on here today, and telling us why you're special. And I just want to tell you guys listening, like, you're not behind, you're not broken, you're not missing some secret ingredient that everyone else got handed at birth. Okay. Everything you've ever needed to build, to heal, to speak, or to lead is already inside of you. And you matter. You are special. Your story matters, not when it's polished, not when it looks perfect. I'm talking about now. Your healing is worth the work that it's asking of you. Your forward momentum, even when it's quiet and uncelebrated, babe, it's still momentum. And people like us, we see you. And if you connect with Charisma, she may even reward you for that one day and make sure you're recognized for that, okay? But choosing to be vulnerable, to say, this is who I am and this is what I'm building, that is not weakness. That is courage and that's leadership. And I promise you, it is worth the cost. So if something in you is stirring, even if you know you're meant for more and you're done hiding, I want you to stay here, subscribe to the show, stay in the stories. And when it's your turn, I want you to step into the arena and tell us why you are special. Charisma, thank you so much today. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Brandon. This was awesome.
Fabulous.